Hello, everybody. Welcome to Genre Blind Minisode.
Today's a very special minisode for two reasons. For one, this is a new release episode, something we've never done before. And two, we have a guest with credentials.
Credential guest, introduce thyself.
Hello, everyone. I'm Autumn. I have a degree in medieval studies and medieval literature.
Hell yes, a scholar.
So whatever we say on this, we're right.
That I can confirm, yes.
So none of this is going to be opinion. All of this is going to be based in fact. We did bring a scholar with us, so...
I'm on the site peer reviewing.
Autumn is going to keep us right.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, we're going to be chitty-chitty-chatting about The Green Knight.
Which we all just scampered to see opening day.
Oh my god, I scrambled. Can I say, when I say that I sprinted across the city of Philadelphia to catch this movie, I walked in all sweaty, all damp. Speaking of which, this was a damp film, y'all.
Yo, this film was wet as hell.
Did it feel like a soggy film to you? There was a lot of mist, a lot of sweat, a lot of leaking sky and ground and
other things.
Well,
I spent a good portion of it trying to imagine what it felt like to have that many wet layers of thick material on.
Ugh.
And I think a good portion of why Gawain was staggering around was just he was wearing wet wool for...
Yeah, he had no idea how to dress for the Highlands, I suppose.
I'd like to kick things off with the text I received from my mother.
All right.
My lovely mother, Janet, asked me, how is The Green Knight? And I said, complex feelings, really beautiful movie, not at all what The Green Knight is about. And she said, glad you got to see Dev. They took liberties with the story.
Well...
as a positive.
What is liberties but the foundation of our this grand nation we call the United States of America?
Autumn and I went to see it last night, and we had a long Liberty. Discussion afterwards. And you had a good point about David Lowery and how you think he did this, Autumn.
Oh, yeah. Like, it felt a lot like he already had the story in mind of what he wanted to tell about this, like, solo adventurer. And some beautiful visuals in mind. And then he was like, fuck, they're only buying IP right now. Like, if this isn't something already, if there's not a franchise, no one will buy this. And so he like quickly Googled things and he was like, fuck, a giant knight that is green? This is the visuals. And then just ran with it instead of looking at what the story was about.
Yeah. We talked about this a lot last night, that like, if he had just picked... made up a new knight, or just picked a different knight and made it not the Green Knight and not Sir Gawain, it would have been fine.
Yeah, because I think, and I've thought about it a little bit more, I think I really love the idea of taking even a legend that hasn't been touched and played with as much and making it something new. I think what really hurts is making Gawain the way he was.
So let's talk through Gawain. He is usually very chaste lad, yes?
Well...
no, he's not usually very chaste lad.
No.
He's described as chaste sometimes, but in the way... he upholds the entire idea of, like, chivalry, essentially. He is the greatest knight to ever knight, and he's also such a fantastic sex machine.
Oh, he is a sex machine, so he's not chaste.
It's complex because they do say he is, but then it's also kind of implied that he is not by the way other people talk to him.
He's like, he's chaste in terms of like other people's honor, not his own. I mean, like the whole bit with Green Knight is it is someone who is married. And so he's not gonna do sex because she's married. But he fucks.
Yeah.
But Gawain fucks. Does he end up finding the Grail?
No. I think you're thinking about Galahad.
That's who I'm thinking of.
Galahad doesn't fuck.
Galahad doesn't fuck. He does get the Grail, though.
Yes.
Because if you don't fuck, you get the Grail.
Unless you're Sir Bors.
Unless you're Sir Bors. Who fucked and got the Grail?
Yeah.
Not fair.
Well, isn't there like a whole, Autumn, correct me on this, isn't there a whole discrepancy like under the conditions that he had sex, whether or not they count as him being a virgin?
There's always weird discrepancies. People like to nitpick things.
So with the Green Knight, this guy does canonically fuck. He is canonically an excellent fella, an excellent knight, a very chivalrous dude.
He's usually pretty diplomatic, too, and less rash. He's usually a counter to Lancelot. Like, in Knight of the Cart, it's the two of them, and Lancelot's off doing fuck all, and Sir Gawain's like, what if we did this like regular people?
So, but with Green Knight, he was a bit of a hot mess.
Oh, yeah.
Emphasis on the hot. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Oh, he was very hot.
He's very pretty. You know that one shot of him just lying in the sheets of, like, deep green blue? I was like, this is a stunning visual.
Yeah.
Yeah. We looked over at each other at that scene.
Like, the colors, again, like, not to be, story aside, it was just a beautiful movie. But when I walked out of the theater, I'm just like, I don't know if I liked this movie. I don't think it necessarily matters. I think that it was just a very beautifully shot, stunning visual piece, you know what I mean?
Agreed.
Yes, I definitely think it was more of a visual feast and something I enjoyed much more for the visual and how beautiful the film was than for the story of it.
It honestly, like, I was thinking about this afterwards. I feel like this serves best to pull images from to make an illustrated storybook with the original poem.
Oh, that would be very beautiful.
Because, like, it's so gorgeous and, like, it hits every mark with aesthetics. Specifically, like, the way they do the crowns really hit me, because Catholic hours. Colors were good, specifically that, like, marigold color was really excellent. I think there was too much focus on the visuals and less on, like, what they had to do with the story. Like, everything was circles, right? Hats are circles and shots are circles and the way his little cloak works is circles and jerking it is circles. But they didn't do anything with the circles. There's this shot where we're looking at Gawain when he's tied up on the ground, and then we circle around and then he's a skeleton, and then we come back and he's fine. And then we get that exact same shot at the end of his Breaking Dawn Part 2 vision quest. And I'm like, all right, here we go. Transition back to the Green Chapel. And it simply did not.
No. And also, like, circles for a little bit meant time was passing and that it didn't mean that anymore.
Also, they tried to do the Black Panther throne room flipping of the camera. They did that, like, slow flip, which is an incredibly impactful scene in Black Panther because it's got that whole, like, the seat of power is literally turned on its head, and you're like, you get chills in that moment, in that kind of clock turn of the camera. But in this one, I'm just like, why are you just showing the sky upside down for me?
Yeah. I did like with that, though, of like, they really did succeed in making Gawain look so small. However, that would have worked a lot better if Gawain was Gawain. Like, if he was knight-errant, powerful, honorable Sir Gawain, and then we make him look very small instead of doing what felt like a coming-of-age story, almost.
It did feel like a coming-of-age.
But without the growth.
Okay. And I want to get into some of the tropes of this movie. But do you think that there was no growth?
I think all the growth happened at the very end. Because suddenly at the end, he takes off his belt, and it's not because of anything he did along his journey, it's because of what he imagined the rest of his life would be. And so I think that was playing at growth, but without actually having the meaningful what a hero's journey is supposed to be.
It's also one of those things that's like the removal of the belt is obviously not something that happens in the poem. Like, that's not a thing that Gawain does, which, like, is trying to quick track growth of look how brave our Gawain is, that he'll actually take it off and accept what's coming. I think they convoluted the belt so much that it symbolized something else instead of the removal and the facing of the future.
What about that CGI scene where the fox starts talking to him? Does that happen in the myth?
No.
No? There aren't just talking foxes that say, anyway, go come back home with me. And he's like, you're a fox, dude. Why are you talking to me?
No.
There's all sorts of talking whatevers, but not in this one.
Yeah, this one has actually a lack of anything. It actually is a lack of all the adventures too. It is literally just about him kissing people.
Yeah, that's the thing. I was surprised that there was so much adventure. And when I first heard that this story was coming out, I'm like, there isn't a whole lot of exciting adventure. There are there giants in the original one?
No.
Which this is actually something I really liked, because literally the way the poem works is it's like, yeah, he traveled from like Halloween till Christmas and had adventures with X, Y, and Z along the way. And none of them really get dove into. Like, they mentioned creatures, they mentioned the Well of St. Winifred, they mentioned, like, a couple things. And so, like, all of those adventures, to me, felt really good and, like, really well put in. Of, like, these are all totally, totally plausible things for a questing knight to encounter and do. And they felt very, very right in the world. My issue with this is once we get to Bertilak's castle, the majority of the poem is Sir Gawain just kissing people and then being like, I gotta go.
Yeah.
A24 is not a production company. We know this. It's a distribution company. They don't make films. They just market and distribute and stuff like that. We need to stop putting blindfolds on old women and not talking about them and acting like that's art.
Yeah, especially because it becomes so confusing, because the blindfolded lady, it, we think, is maybe like his mom, but also his mom puts on the blindfold to control other people. So is this old lady controlling someone else? Like, I'm very lost with what they were doing.
I forgot about the blindfolded old woman. There was one, wasn't there? There was two. I mean, well, there was his mom, but then there was the one that like totally watched him get busy.
Let's talk about,
what do you want to talk about it, Diggs? What do you want to say?
Dev Patel coming on his mom's belt.
Okay.
What I want to say is, first of all, I was maybe expecting to see dick. I was not expecting to see cum.
Somehow that was like way more graphic to me.
I haven't seen a penis emit anything in years. So the original bit with the Green Knight is that the lady of the castle is like, you're Sir Gawain, why won't you fuck me? And he's like, we can make out, but we can't have sex. For like 3 days, he never gives in and fucks her. That's kind of the bit. And so I feel like you can still have him finish without it completely disregarding like the myth, because like, you know, technically he didn't fuck her or whatever, but to have him run away in like guilt right afterwards is like an entirely different character arc for Gawain. Like, if that's the bit, then that's a different story.
Yeah, it was just a very strange, sudden change, because it was also like, it made it sound like she did something magical almost with the way she like left after. And also her weird painting.
Yeah!
It was never addressed. For a second I was like, we're doing Dorian Gray now.
Especially after there was that long bit earlier of him sitting for a painting, and then the shield painting of Mary getting destroyed, and then now we have a painting of him where his hair acts as a halo, and I'm like, all right, here we go.
Yeah, I thought it was gonna like track his honor, since that seemed to be like what he was doing everything for but was failing at.
I think that there might be something to be said about the impetus of the story is like, hey, regale me with one of your adventures. Something interesting happens. He's like, amazing. Now I've got an adventure to tell you about. Then he gets his image painted. There's all this like creation of imagery and the shattering of imagery. And then this kind of odd, shadowy, greenish colored camera painting, which is way more accurate, but also way less flattering than the beautiful painting than before. So could it be, in order to make somebody seem chivalrous or heroic, or like, what is the real version of it? The gritty realism of becoming a knight versus the stories that we tell. Because, you know, he went home and he probably told the story of the Green Knight, but in reality, there is still that dark, shadowy green painting hanging there.
I think that's a really good point, especially with the lady of the house saying specifically that when she feels the need to, she changes stories, and that she controls them herself. And it's in who tells them instead of the actual story.
Exactly. There was that whole scene about her saying, I write stories, I read stories, and sometimes I change them. And you know, also like in his vision quest going forwards in time, he imagined that he went home and told this like heroic story, became a king, everybody loved him, he manipulated the story, you know, but there is still that one like photograph, green, ugly picture.
Also, I didn't realize that the painting the lady did was supposed to be ugly. I saw Dev Patel and it was like, beautiful, fantastic.
Oh no, it is totally beautiful. And I think it was like a stunning image as well. But like, if you compare it to the painting, it's like, it's not ugly.
It's bare. It doesn't have like any of the accoutrement.
It's a photograph. Like, it's an old, raw photograph.
Yeah.
And I think that even though this is not the story of the Green Knight, I feel like there is something to be said about this being so far away from the original story of the Green Knight, in that this is what happened, quote, quote, and the story of the Green Knight is what kind of emerged from it. You know?
Focusing in on Lady Bertilac, like, that actually just changed my entire perception of the movie.
I've been trying to think about her a lot, especially since I found out that the same actress plays Essel in it. And so I'm trying to also figure out the reading of her.
Which is not something I clocked, that was the same person. What was it? That was a discussion we had to have afterward. You had thought Winifred and the young queen that he marries at the end were the same character, or the same person.
Stop putting redheads in movies, okay? I'm sorry. Like,
you are a redhead!
Yeah, but there's too many.
Okay. Here's the thing, is I'm a hypocrite because I think all men with brown hair look exactly the same. But these were two extremely different looking women. Like, very intentionally so.
I don't want to be that person, but I'm on Autumn's side here. I think redheads are overrepresented in movies. It's always a redhead that goes on the cool adventure. I don't care about the red. I mean, I do, don't get me wrong. I love redheads, but they're overrepresented in movies.
I saw red hair. I ran with it. You can't put too many redheads. I'm going to think they are all the same.
I'm
going
to have to side with Autumn on this one again. You put too many redheads. You know redheads make up 2% of the population.
Okay, there was also, like, Dev Patel's. There's only one of him. So, like, I don't know why we're talking about percentages. Also, if you put a woman in some Queen Amidala-ass looking hair, I'm going to know which one she is versus other people.
Yeah, but you, that happened second. How I didn't have time to compare faces or anything, you know? I just saw the red hair.
Also, if you're putting somebody in Queen Amidala-ass makeup, that sounds like you've got something to hide, you know?
She looks like the princess from Dune, and I feel like that was the whole bit of she's the painted up, completely blank slate caricature of the future.
No, sure.
She felt like Mr. Darling when you double cast Mr. Darling and Hook. To me.
Double cast, you say? As in double casting as a saint and also the blank face of the future?
She's not a saint. I'm talking about where it's like Hook is supposed to be like the man Wendy is supposed. I need to not talk about this. I'm gonna say something I should.
Also, real quick side note, this is editing digs, but in David Lowery's 2022 Peter Pan remake, he doesn't have Mr. Darling and Hook set to be double cast. So, sir, I have some words for you.
Well, anyway, we all agree that redheads aren't valid. I'm sorry, Autumn.
It's okay. I don't think I'm valid either, actually.
Goodness. Okay, Autumn, I'll let you be the one valid redhead because you came on genre blind. Any redheads that haven't?
Okay, our guests have been exclusively been women with red hair.
Yeah.
All women with red hair are the same. We've only had one guest on genre blind.
We're actually all the same.
You guys want to talk about some feckin' tropes?
Yeah, probably.
So I compiled a list from the King Arthur page, the Arthurian legend page, the Sir Gawain page, and the Green Knight page, both Green Knight movie and Green Knight poem, so that we can look at what carries through, what gets represented differently. And first thing I would like to say is the Sir Gawain page on TV tropes has been removed.
Oh, shit.
Sir Gawain got taken away from me, and I will never forgive God. The other thing I'd like to talk about is the Mordred myth.
Okay.
So the first thing we have is antagonistic offspring, which it's exactly what it says. It's when your offspring is the villain. And this usually happens with, like, Arthur and Mordred, right? Like, the end of Arthur's story is getting mortally wounded by Mordred on the battlefield and whatever. But in this, his closest family tie is Gawain. Right, and there's that whole discussion of, like, you're my nephew, but we've never spent time together, and, like, I want to make this more of, like, a family. And then Arthur dies when Sir Gawain, in his vision quest, comes back after not getting honor and becomes the poor ruling antagonistic king that Mordred wants to be in the original myth.
So can we talk about antagonistic offspring? Is it just when a youngin is antagonistic to their parent?
I believe it is when the child is antagonistic to their hero parent.
Oh, as in the parent has a child, not very good child.
Right. It would be like the Mordred to your Arthur, or your Loki to your Odin. If we're going straight up, Kylo Ren to Leia.
Hero has child, not good child.
Yeah.
What's the opposite trope, like, for when your parent is, like, a supervillain and you are the good one? Because all I can think of is War and Peace, which...
Oh, true. Being evil is your dream, Dad.
Yeah, exactly. Also Descendants.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to talk about Descendants?
I always want to talk about Descendants.
I heard Let's Talk About Descendants.
No, I do not.
That's okay. That's a tangent. I just...
So, anyway...
I don't know, actually, what the exact opposite trope is. Could it also not be exactly the same? If you're Doofenshmirtz and Vanessa wants to do good stuff, technically she is antagonizing you.
So, for antagonistic offspring, who is the mother of Gawain?
This is a whole thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, if we're talking Arthuriana, it's Morgause.
Yeah.
But then in this, I think she's supposed to be Morgan Le Fay.
It's unclear because they don't name anyone.
They don't name anyone. So she's either Morgause or Morgana and is engineering the whole thing.
But also, to what end?
To what end?
Does she want him to get his head chopped off? Does she want him to become a brave knight? Does she want, like, why summon the Green Knight in the first place?
You know, that's a great question.
Also, why not double cast the Green Knight and the Lord?
Didn't they double cast him? Wasn't it the same guy?
I don't think so, because also he like immediately went the opposite direction of the Lord, and Green Knight was like morphed into the chapel, like he had been overgrown and was waiting for the full year.
Which is a shame, because I would have loved for the Lord to have been revealed to be the Green Knight.
I also would have loved if it was just a jaunty guy painted green.
Oh, man, right?
We talked about this, like, hello, yes, I am the Green Knight. Welcome to my cool house.
Me!
I'm here to play a game!
Would you like to play a Christmas game and kiss my wife and then me?
Which, again, that did happen once, kind of.
They made a very distinct bit about how people touch Gawain. There was a distinct hand gesture that maternal or just caring figures used, where, like, everyone touches his forehead first, and then him. Anyone who is romantic goes straight for, like, the face beard experience. Essel does it, Lady Bertilac does it, Lord Bertilac does it, and then the Green Knight does it, and doesn't smooch him.
Oh, man.
Fuck you.
Where was the Green Knight to smooch? He should have smooched the Green Knight.
Which, if we're talking original mythos, he kind of does.
Yeah.
I mean, he definitely just straight up does.
Telling the Green Knight, but we're telling it realistically, where he chickens out several times and then the Green Knight just fucking kills him, because it'd be like that. Then why are we also doing stuff like his mom, who is both Morgause and Morgan Le Fay, controls Arthur and then makes him the sash, and then he finishes on it and there's a magic painting of him that doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm also very confused how she got the sash from the kids that...
Those fucking kids.
That one scavenger lad did not love him.
For a minute, I was like, are we getting a Percival?
Yeah, I also thought Percival.
Unless we were getting a very weird Percival.
He was mean. He was like a...
Sir Gawain and the Mean Knight. Something else was like, if we hadn't met the fucker who was supposed to be Merlin, I was like, is this kid a Merlin figure where he's like, I've shown up to do weird things and you didn't pass my test? Like, you know that bit where Merlin shows up disguised as a little kid to Arthur and is like, I know your future and how you'll die. And Arthur's like rude to him. And then Merlin turns back into a grown man. He's like, you dumbass, trust every child you meet in the woods. Now you'll never know.
What? Real quick, before we move on, what was your thought on Arthur? Old man, kind of wise. I kind of liked him a lot, actually. I'm gonna be honest. Listen, I know he might not be the Arthur of your dreams, but I thought he had a lot of sway.
I think he was definitely, like, the actor was very powerful.
The actor did a great job. If he were playing Uther.
Yeah, I was just thrown off by the whole... I didn't understand what was happening in the, like, knight universe, you know? So I was just thrown off by Arthur being old and kind of sickly, away not being a knight. It was just lots of things that threw me off. The actor was very good. I really liked the performance, and I liked the character for the movie that was made. But if we're talking about it in the canon of the Green Knight, I'm not sure.
Yeah, in the world of this movie, I think it works really well, and, like, undoubtedly, like, that actor did a fantastic job. But it's one of those things of, like, the point of Arthur, like, or not the point of Arthur, but like a big portion of Arthur's whole story is his age and how old he is at different points, and then like how he dies. Like, Arthur's death is never going to be sickly in bed. It's always going to be meeting with Mordred, right? Like, that's always how it's going to be. And even if he's older at that point, or a grown man, or even an old man, it's always going to be that way. He's not going to just waste away one day.
Yeah.
It's always going to be a violent death. Making Arthur older, but then making Gawain not a knight yet was very strange.
Kind of like you were saying earlier, Annalie, like how the story, how it really went. The reality of being a knight is that you will have been injured in the battle at some point, and you will not recover the way you wanted to, and you will survive, but you will kind of be miserable. I thought it was kind of interesting being like, oh, this is the real aftermath of being like this really honorable knight, kind of like what Gawain was like going towards.
So let's talk about cool sword.
Annalie's taking my job.
Yeah, I am. I'm steering this ship. I don't know almost anything about what's it called? You know, Arthuriana or whatever the hell. Who even knows this shit? Anyway, what I can do is read off tropes from a thing. Cool sword.
We have a very, very big moment where Arthur lets Gawain use what I'm gonna assume is Excalibur, right? Because it's Arthuriana and he's got a sword, so it's gotta be Excalibur, because it's probably not Caliburn. So he gets to use Excalibur, and then it's not a thing. It gets handed to him later. Which, okay. Doesn't that defeat the purpose of the sword?
Would Gawain know this? This isn't what happens. This is his little vision quest.
I would think Gawain would know. Like, I feel like everybody in, like, all of the knights and wannabe knights know about Excalibur and Caliburn and...
Do they know how Arthur's gonna... Do they sit around being like, hey, Arthur, listen, buddy, we know your sword's gonna go rock and roll one day. Also, we know that you're gonna die in a bloody, bloody way. And Arthur's like, yeah, rock and roll, you know? So maybe Gawain is just like, I don't know, he's just a dude. He's a really cool dude. We love him. We think he's great, but he's just a dude. And in reality, Arthur will die in a certain way. But, you know, in this, Gawain's just a dummy. See, Gawain knows about as much of Arthuriana that I know about Arthuriana. In that it's not a lot, but he tries to fake it till he makes it, yeah?
I really like the idea of the Excalibur cycle being broken. Instead of, like, Arthur dying, returning the sword to, like, the lake and sending his body to Avalon, I really like the idea of the Lady of the Lake just being so fucking pissed because he just handed it to someone and was like, here you go.
Hold this for a second.
Hey, you hold this for a second.
Best of fucking luck.
And then he just puts, he soups it up. He sends it to the blacksmith, and the blacksmith says, neat.
We can't reference the future past.
Why not? He sends it to the blacksmith, and the blacksmith says, hello, I'm from the future. Are you king? I didn't vote for you. Anyway, give me that sword.
I'm the ward of Sir Ector.
Man, you're talking in gibberish to me. What is this nerd shit? I don't even know. Arthuriana, this is why we have an expert. Translate.
Sir Ector, Sir Kay's dad, and basically King Arthur's dad, but not really.
See, this is why, and now you're mad at Gawain, you're just like, why doesn't Gawain know this? Why doesn't he know it? Because it's convoluted, Diggs, that's why.
Most of Arthuriana is like, okay, so it's like this, but it's also not.
Yeah, it's also like this, but it's also not, no.
It's so convoluted, and then you have so many different people saying so many different things, and then the French get involved, and you're like, what are you doing here?
French.
Like, which I really loved. I'm much more a fan of, like, the French chivalric romance.
You're a fan of the French?
Me too.
Really?
Not typically.
Chrétien de Troyes hits different.
Yeah, like, he knows what's happening, though. Like, he gets it.
He knows what's sexy.
Yeah.
Speaking of cool swords, another one of the tropes is named weapons, which I actually don't want to talk about in terms of weapons. I want to talk about in terms of horses. We have exactly one moment where Sir Gawain calls out to Gringolet, his horse, and then it never happens again, and it just struck me as so fucking funny.
So he did, the horse had a name.
But no one else did.
But nobody else had a name.
Who was the soothsayer?
Soothsayer as in who? The fox?
No, the knight who had the tattoos under his eyes.
Oh, Merlin.
Yeah, it's Merlin, right? But, like, why was Merlin like that?
Why was Merlin like that? Why was Merlin there?
Because it was also, like, a knight.
Yeah!
Why was Merlin tatted up? What do you have against Merlin being rock and roll?
Are they making him a knight because he was hanging out the knights and kind of looked like a knight? And I was very confused by it, and I didn't like it.
Does Merlin not get to hang out with the knights? Does he go off and not hang out with the knights?
Merlin gets locked in a cave.
Merlin's kind of actually not there.
What?
BBC Merlin has ruined everything.
Oh, man. I didn't even see, I never saw BBC Merlin, but now I feel bad because this wizard is locked in a place instead of having good mutton.
Well, it's because he was horny.
Yeah, Merlin also, he kind of like has his own thing going on that's separate from everyone else.
Merlin fucks?
His mother was a succubus.
Merlin fucks?
Yeah, he tried to fuck Nimue.
Yeah.
But then she was like a teenager and then she locked him in a cave.
I tried to fuck Gablin Spleen.
Well?
I don't understand what you're saying, nerd boy.
Well?
I want the wizard to party. Bring him back.
Listen, the wizard doesn't get to party.
Listen, but would you want to party with Merlin? Answer, riddle me this.
Oh, I would party with Merlin.
You would party with Merlin?
Yeah, but I would also party with anyone from an Arthurian legend because I'd be like, how the fuck did you get here? What is the multiverse?
Who would you party with the most? Who would you party with the least from Arthuriana? Autumn. Specifically, I want you to riddle me this.
Okay, I have to think on this one. I think I party most with Yvain.
Yvain?
Yvain, Knight of the Lion. He is one of the young knights who goes on a quest to basically... He has a coming-of-age story about, like, finding honor and stuff, but he fucks things up along the way and is very selfish, and so I think he'd be really fun to party with. I really love him. I think he doesn't know what the fuck is ever happening.
Oh, hell yeah. All right.
Okay, this might be a controversial one. I don't think I want to party with Arthur. At all.
Well, I also would be like, I mean, it's about time you're back, baby. We've got a lot of shit to do.
Yeah, he's the king. Everyone's gonna be around because everyone's gonna be like, oh my god, I'm like, this is too much. It would be like fighting over people. I don't want to be in that. And also, it would be embarrassing to watch him because I feel like he wouldn't actually be cool, but you know he's supposed to be, so it would just be embarrassing. And I'd be like, okay, I'm gonna hang out with the other dudes in the corner who aren't quite like the full cool knights yet.
Can I do a 4-person bedwed behead with people who I don't know? Like, usually I balance these out. I usually like tinker around and balance this out, but I'm going Yvain, Lancelot, Arthur, Gawain, bedwed behead. One of them just gets to walk free.
Okay, wait, if I wed Arthur, am I Guinevere?
Well,
so does that mean I also automatically get to fuck Lancelot? Like, I just want to...
I was gonna say, you get all the queenly things.
Because I think that might be my move, because then I'm also a queen.
You will be in the path of Lancelot's ire, but you might not be exactly that Guinevere spice.
Wait, but then how are you married to Arthur?
Hey, listen, I don't know how this shit works, nerd boy. I don't know how any of this shit works.
I'm wedding Arthur.
You're wedding Arthur?
I'm going to bed Gawain because I'm going to assume Lancelot I'm also going to get, you know, just from the nature. I'm going to cheat the system that way.
Right.
And then I'm going to behead Yvain.
What? But you said you wanted to party with him. You party with this man and you behead him?
After partying with him?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's also what happens at the Green Knight.
Oh my god!
The Lord is like, hey, Gawain, I party with you. Just kidding, time for me to behead you.
You're so right!
Maybe you should marry Arthur, fuck Yvain, also fuck Lancelot, because it'd be like that, and then behead Gawain, because it also means you get to fuck him.
Oh my god! You guys are like the party praying mantises. You guys are like, oh yeah, I get to party, but once the party's over, it ends in an execution.
To say, have you not read any Arthurian?
Hey, listen. Very little. Again, Gawain and Green Knight. That's about where it stopped.
Oh my god.
Wow, I can't believe that you guys would kill the partiers. I feel like there's a special place in hell for those.
I didn't answer. I just said if you were gonna game the system.
Ye who slaughters them.
See, the thing is, though, I don't think I'd also want to fuck Yvain very much. You know? He seems too youthful to me. I need someone a little world weary.
So state it one more time.
We're wedding Arthur. We are bedding Gawain. We are beheading Yvain. And Lancelot, he gets to walk free, but he gets to walk right into our little... He's at the circle. He sees me. He comes up to my room. There are glances. There are touches.
Meliagant is downstairs.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like that.
So is it that Arthur can only ever marry Guinevere?
There's like a thing.
There's kind of a prophecy.
There's, yeah. In some versions, though, Arthur's not even like... human?
Yeah, I feel like it makes him more along the lines of Fae, just because there's tons of Fae in.
He's also vaguely, like, begotten by magic anyway.
Yeah, that'd be true.
So in the movie, so Bedwyr be head between the CGI fox that howls at the big hand.
I want to talk about the howling scene.
Okay, let's talk about the howling scene.
That, to me, was one of the more effective scenes, but that's just because I used to live deep in the woods in Oregon, and hearing that many things howl the exact same way triggered something like a childhood fear, and I wanted Gawain to howl with them. End of statement.
Don't get me wrong, the soundscape also, like, with the visuals... slapped, like the dissonant choir was so good. Oh my god,
the sound fucked so hard.
The way that they just morphed sound, like the sound mixing was next level. That one scene where like the sound of the match went into something else, I forget what, but at the time it was literally like jaw dropping. I was like, beautiful.
So Bedwyr be head between that fox, the horse that is a named character,
Gringolet,
and what's another critter?
Winifred, the giant, Gawain's skeleton, the Green Knight.
The Green Knight. Yeah. Okay. Let's do. Okay. Ready. Winifred's skeleton, Gawain's skeleton. Or the skeleton of soldier number 7 on the battlefield.
Should I expose myself or no?
Yes, you absolutely always should.
I was deeply sexually attracted to...
So there we go.
So I think I would marry that. And then I think I would fuck Gawain's skeleton since it's already tied up.
No.
And then I guess behead...
behead the already dead soldiers. Ugh. What a shame.
How about you?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd behead Winifred. I mean, it's already there, right?
I like that, going with the easiest option.
I'm the inciting incident for the movie, actually. It was me. Sorry, it was just a game.
Remember, this was all just a game.
Should I try and play this game with my family on Christmas? And be like, hey guys, I've got a cool idea.
Just a weird Christmas game.
Just some funky games at Christmas time.
Honestly, I think that we should adjust all games to fit Green Knight games. Green Knight game, you hit me wherever you can, however you can. In 1 year, I hit you back. Exactly where you hit me.
That would be intense. I would, you know, I would not train or work out for just anything, but I would build my strength.
You would have the bodybuilding scene for the ex-con give it to you, bodybuilding scene for when you returned, like, the slap. It would be kind of like a slap bet.
I still have a running slap bet.
So does Gawain.
Oh my fucking god.
The ultimate slap.
We don't know what happens.
Yeah, we're not sure what happens. Of all the things to leave in, I love the flinch.
We really zoomed in on that third flinch.
And it's like, ugh, I hate indie films.
Twice for flinching.
Also, again, the title cards. I just want to put this on the table. Really hard to read for somebody who can't read quickly.
It's also such an indie film thing of like, let's split it up into vignettes. Also, this is something I wanted to talk about, particularly the scene where he's hanging out with the fox. And he eats that mushroom and he's just chilling on the side of the mountain. That, I felt, was a good, like, adaptation of when a short story is mostly leaping description with very little action. Those types of scenes made a lot of sense to me, of that's how you turn it into a feature-length film. That all tracks, and all the little adventures track. But then, when there are things that happen, they don't.
Yeah.
They did a great job of taking something very short and expanding it. But then they didn't do the tent posts that exist.
Yeah, they swept so big that they swept it right on off the table.
I just wanted there to be more kissing.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of kissing for a very kissy story.
Part of the whole thing with Green Knight is that when the Green Knight asks Gawain what he learned, he's like, hoes be trifling, right? In the original, and he's like, wrong. You have to understand your own failures and things like that. But in this, Gawain's kind of right. His mom be trifling, and Lady Berdalak be trifling, yeah. And just everyone's trifling. And like,
it was just so strange that they took out the kissing just to do strange, cryptic, I'm a woman who reads. In the Middle Ages, therefore I'm magical and maybe evil.
They totally did take that trope of like the kind of old 1950s, if she reads, she might be a witch, and they're just like, modernize it, I don't know.
Like, I think it would have worked better if it was just the Green Knight being like, I have a silly little game for us to play.
And don't get me wrong, I love the Green Knight, just himself. I love tree people, he was rad. I wanted him to be a little wackier.
Just a little sillier.
Yeah.
This is also on another episode of Colorblind. When the Green Knight first showed up, I was like, they didn't even fucking make him green. I'm colorblind.
No way. What did you think he was?
I thought he was, like, gray.
Ha!
In my defense, he was very muted in that scene.
Yeah, in the opening scene, he was really muted.
Yeah, I wish he came in just like,
ooh-hoo-hoo! I wish they just had a guy in a green morph suit who was like, what's up, dudes?
Are you kidding? That would be awesome. So let's cap this with retell the Green Knight, but this time it's morph suit, man.
Yeah, I think what honestly, for this movie to be better in my head as like a tale of the Green Knight, I think we need 8 more movies telling the Green Knight in different ways. Because I think partly what's bothering me is that not a lot has happened with the Green Knight. And so this is the one thing, and it's not the Green Knight. But I think if we do lots of different things with the Green Knight and make it really wacky and funky and lots of different adaptations and stories, I'm like, yeah, this is a great version of it.
Exactly.
I love that idea. Make one of them disco.
Yeah.
All I want is a take on Arthuriana where they don't do Arthur and the Knights dirty and they actually like commit to the fact that they're a bunch of young rowdy men with a specific ideal. Cause like the King Arthur's court is just a frat house, right? He's a young king with a bunch of people that follow a specific set of like moral codes to be in the group and go and do things for it, which is basically like an honors fraternity, right? And so I just want a version where Arthur is like 25 years old. Oh, like someone must recount a tale. In the original poem, he's like, I'm not eating until something cool happens or someone tells me a story. Fuck you guys.
Yeah, he was causing a scene at Christmas dinner.
Yeah, he was, what if I made Christmas insufferable? I want Rowdy Boy Nights.
So in Autumn's retelling of the Green Knight, where there are 8 different versions, we've got one version which is 80s frat movie, Green Knight, right?
Yes.
We've got one version which is man in morph suit, gets a little bit weird, gets a little bit disco, kind of don't hug me, I'm scared, Green Knight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna need 6 other Green Knight versions. Go.
One that's just straight up and down, word for word, however long it takes, just the short story.
Perfect.
I think you need a romantic version of it.
A romance version? Okay.
Gay metaphor version.
Gay metaphor version. Cool.
Yeah.
We've got 3 more.
A full whimsical take on it. Like, this was very, like, horror, fantasy, surreal. I think we need a full-on whimsical version of it.
Like a silly one. Yep. Okay, so whimsical, are you talking about like whimsical or are you talking about like modern tongue-in-cheek Deadpool sort of commentary on itself? Or are you talking like goofy?
Okay, I think I'm talking a little bit both. I think you need to take it in a more lighthearted tone than it is. I think you have to embrace the comedy in it. It's a little bit of a silly story. We're gonna lean into the silliness, but also while keeping like the fantasy fun whimsy of it. Not everything is like the dark, gritty fantasy.
I agree. Why can't fantasy be fun? I know that sounds so silly, but
it's very silly.
Yeah. We've got 2 more versions of this Green Knight.
Oh, this is something I wanted to bring up. This will actually tie into this. I don't know if in your version they had this, but in ours, in the beginning, there was an interview with David Lowery. Did you have that in your theater?
No.
Okay, so there's a bit where he talked about all the films that inspired him to make this. And there's 2 points I would like to make. Point 1, all of his movies were about little guys going on quests. It was lots of, like, hobbits and like Dark Crystal and like things like that, little characters in fantasy, which was wonderful. And then also all of them were about friendship. And so he's like, yes, little people having friendships and going on adventures together in a fun and meaningful way is what inspired me to tell this. And then tells a story with 6'2 Dev Patel completely alone and having no fun or friends. So I would like a version of the Green Knight where Gawain gets to bring his friends.
Like Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yes, exact. Oh, fuck. I just wrote my Holy Grail.
You just wrote Monty Python and the Holy Grail. But that counts. That counts as one of them. So we've got one more.
Autumn, give it to us.
I think if we do one more telling of the Green Knight, I think we need to follow the Green Knight. Like, I think it has to be the Green Knight story.
Ooh!
Yes!
What is this Lord Bertelic's, like, life? What's his deal? Like, you know, he's just a man who likes silly games. Is this the only dude he has a silly game with on right now? I doubt it.
Every holiday he's like, come to me next Valentine's Day, and I'm like...
Yeah, does he just go to a bunch of different dinners and, like, just keeps on picking fights with randos? And it's only because he just doesn't want to be alone on the holidays?
Oh!
He keeps asking people to chop off his head because he's a lonely tree man.
Him and his wife spend, like, hours at the dinner table plotting how they're gonna, like, do this next bit.
This is just what it's like being married to a comedian.
They're just lonely, horny tree people. I love this version of the Green Knight.
They're just swingers. Hey, babe, how would you feel if, on Halloween, I went to visit a wreck in a need? Do you think, like, that would be cool? Like, if we brought, like, a need into...
Oh my god, I love that. So the final Green Knight follows the Green Knight and just, like, has his day in the life. I love this. So we need to get together, like, a Marvel MCU sort of thing. All of these are going to be part of the multiverse.
And it's only about the Green Knight. Every other Arthurian movie, get out. You're not welcome here.
Irrelevant. Holy Grail who? We don't know them. Well, everybody, real quick, take a moment to pat Diggs on the metaphorical back and say, congratulations for getting this episode out shortly after the Green Knight exists. Good luck.
I don't know when you're going to be listening to this, but it should be known that we went and saw the Green Knight, at least Autumn and I, on the 30th, and recorded this on the 31st, and I am going to now enter a cave. I'm going to go on my own quest.
Yes.
And...
I was just going to say thank you so much, Autumn, for coming by, for sharing your expertise.
Thank you guys for having me.
For being a redhead on our podcast. We need more, I guess.
Yeah, only redheads.
Only redheads. So if you're a redhead, please contact Genre Blind.
You have to have expertise.
Yeah, an expert redhead.
If you are What's Her Fuck from As Above, So Below, hit us up. I'm free most nights. Autumn, do you have anything to plug?
I have a web series.
Everyone go watch Autumn's web series. I'm going to link it down in the description. There's one episode. I was behind the camera for it.
And in front of the camera for it.
Oh yeah, there's a shot of my ass in it. Go check out Don't Die. And I would just like to close out by saying, you came, quote the Green Knight.
Oh. Oh. Well, goodbye everyone. See ya.
Bye.